Well, we have an absolute fantastic treasure and treasure couple with us this morning. Dr. Chris Lodewyk from South Africa and his lovely bride, Lorena, are with us. Now, it is, you've heard me say this before, I'm going to say it again. He could go anywhere, a host of places around the world he could be this morning. Churches of thousands of people have been recipients of the precious ministry through this man of God. And we are just so deeply honored that you have taken the time to come here to be with us when you do so. And we love you guys. And we want to hear from Lorena, the newlywed bride, if you'll come and greet us. And then we're going to welcome Dr. Chris, Pastor Chris, as he comes. Lorena, let's welcome her, church. Yeah, she says, you're supposed to come here, too. I think you're on your own, kid.
Only in this church do I feel comfortable enough. Thank you so much.
Well, we're glad you do.
Thank you so much. I really want to thank you all for the amazing love and welcoming that you've given us. Like I said, only in this church would I feel comfortable enough to be able to stand up here. This is all new to me, but you've made it really, really easy. I just want to thank you again for your gracious hospitality. And Kevin and Sherry have been so amazing. It's so awesome to have him as president, vice president of the region, because he is out there supporting our pastors that so desperately need that support. Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy all of us, and he especially targets our pastors. And I was so blessed by his encouragement to the pastors at the conference. I want to thank you. And I kept hearing the verse that we all are familiar with, but I think I just need to say it again. God wants to. Oh dear, now I lost it. Anyway, thank you, and I feel so honored to be here. It feels like I'm stepping in the river with you guys and just swimming.
Amen.
When I walk in these doors, I feel the presence of the Lord here, and that is so precious. I just encourage you to keep on keeping on like you're doing, and the Lord just absolutely adores you guys here. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Come on, church, let's welcome Pastor Chris, Dr. Chris Lodewyk from South Africa.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having us here this morning. I promise you that we talk about it often, that every time we come back, and we hear that, the door is open for us. We can come back. We shout with joy. We are absolutely in love with this place and the people of this place. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. Thank you, Sherry, for all that you are to us. Even if you don't know it, you mean a lot to us. And we appreciate it. If the pastor says that we can be at a lot of places, I just want to say to you, we don't want to be at a lot of places. This is where we want to be. We want to be where we feel at home. We were chatting at the back, and I said to him, I said, you know, there were the days that you sort of felt that wherever you go, you want to go back and be in one town with, 10 or 20 churches, wherever you are, and get as much out of that visit. Well, this is one place that we come to, and we don't look for additions. We come to two churches, and we come to Christ the Rock Fellowship, and we come here, and we thoroughly enjoy it. And we appreciate that. We traveled almost 20 hours to New York, and then quite a number of hours back up to West Palm Beach, where we went to go just for an hour, and back in the plane back to New York. I think it's the furthest that I've ever gone just to go say hi to a friend and have something to eat and back to the airport and come back. Almost like a rich man. We had to dig out deep to do that. But Reinhard Bonnke is a close friend of ours for many, many, many years. We almost grew up together. And I'm a little bit older than him. I'm his senior brother. But it was so good to arrive there and see him at the airport waiting for us, him and his wife, and jumping out of the car. And even if he was with a stick there, because he's not the healthiest, that's why we want to go there, just to see him, because he's not healthy. But we could spend a few hours with them and reminisce about the old days and what God has done, and then come right back to New York to spend the day and then travel here another 5 hours further. And so we feel that our head's spinning all the time, you know, not knowing where we are. But it's such a blessing to come along and meet friends and renew our friendships in some cases. And this trip was very, very special. I agree with all those who have said it. It was a special, very special conference. I've attended a few over the years, and this for me was the best. You know, it was good, all the others, but this for me was the best. I have no doubt that God's presence were there, and I have truly felt it worth coming for it. And I'm just so happy that we came. We got another day or two or three, and then we head back all that way back to go and do the work that God has called us. And then a few, 2 months or so later, we're back on our way here for the national conference. Now, we're not into the habit of conferencing, you know, those were the early years. But these are two special conferences that we want to be part of what God is doing. First of all, let me say thank you so much for welcoming us and opening the door for us to come, and also to allow my precious, beautiful wife to also come and speak here. Oh, she doesn't like it. At our wedding, she got a big shock when the master of ceremonies said that he's calling her, and she got such a shock, and she got up, and he said, "We just want her to say a word." And she got up and she said, "Word." And sat down. Now, this morning she said much more than just word. You know, don't get the idea that she doesn't talk much. Ask me at home, you know. But I assure you that the last 6 months that we've been happy, we just 6 months on honeymoon. And continuing, God has been gracious and blessed, and we've traveled together in places that she's not had the privilege to be before, and it's just been a wonderful joy for me, particularly to be whole again. Just to be whole again. I don't know how I managed it the 5 years. I was married to my late wife for 54 years. And then alone for 5 years. And I was just stubborn. My wife, late wife, made me promise that I will not stay alone. She said, "You're not a loner, you can't." But you know, us men, we want to prove them wrong. And you know what? We hated that they're always right. Yeah. And of course, eventually I gave in after 3 years. Maybe she was right. Maybe she was right. But who wants me as an old man now? And lo and behold, a lady as precious as this, as beautiful young lady, she's about, you know, I'm about four times her age, you know. I was amazed and shocked when she said yes. You know, I thought I was dreaming, but I later woke up and found it's true. And God has been good, and I feel strengthened. I feel new and fresh and ready for God to do whatever He wants me to do. Now, yes, I was also in hospital this since being here. Been there for a day. My doctor was not happy that he can't find anything. And he says, Chris, you know, you're okay, but, you know, maybe we must do some checkups to make sure, because it's a long time since you had a major checkup and such. And I said, okay, and then he booked us in, and we had to go the next day and got it all going, and from morning till night we were there, you know, and just about everything that you could think that must be checked, he checked. And they went through, and I was in, and I was, you know, on the set again, what do you call it, you know, into, you know, I almost call it the oven, that you go in there and lie there, and the oven turn with you to find something, almost as if he so much wanted to find something. And he, of course, knows that my, you know, we're very friends, good friends, the two of us. We're close to the 80s. Oh, she's ahead of me. If she slows down, I'll catch her. But, and I'll be 82 soon. Not 82, soon. I'll be 80 as well soon. So at the end of the day, after all of those examinations and checks and all kinds of things, he said, Chris, we don't find anything. You okay? I wanted to say, I could have told you that, you know. But our gracious God is faithful, and I just thank God for the grace, the mercy that I may have told it last time. I am so honored to this year celebrate 65 years of ministry. And it's been a long journey, and it's been a wonderful journey. And yes, uphills. But I have yet to find an uphill that doesn't have a downhill. Every uphill has a downhill. It's not around a corner necessarily, but somewhere it has to come down. Otherwise, the whole world will be one way, just up. Every uphill has a downhill. And God carries us through, and He has carried Lorena and I, and she just became, of course, a great-grandmother a few months ago. And I felt so good about that, so that I can feel she's in my league. We're both great-grandparents. Otherwise, I feel almost guilty having a young girl, you know, with me. So it's been a wonderful time. It's been a wonderful conference. We've been away from here for 3 years, 4 months. And we've seen God at work. We've been involved in various areas, in many things. And we're ready to go back. And we have a little bit of a hiccup. Lorena is not yet sure if she's Wednesday traveling with me. There was a little bit of a hiccup on her when she was due to be out of the country, and she overstayed her welcome a little bit, just slightly. And of course, when you do that, you know, they say you stay away for a year now, you know. And that's what they said, you know, you for the next year you cannot come, you know. And but we just believe in the Lord, it will be hours and not years. You know, and we quickly had to call upon some people in places a bit higher than mine that to say, listen, intervene on our behalf. And now we trust in the Lord, together with those who are working on it, that she will be heading home with me this week when I leave, and that we carry on with that which God has called us. So keep it in your prayers, and that we may be there for where the Lord wants us, and that we will achieve what He has set out for us to do. It's been a working time, but we had an immense time of leisure. I almost feel guilty. I can't remember that I've gone, for once in my life, I've gone to Cape Town for 10 days and only ministered once. You know, I mean, I almost felt guilty that people will see me, that I'm running around and I'm there on a holiday. Of course, she had a ball and I felt guilty. But it's good to know that the Lord wants us to enjoy the journey with Him. He doesn't desire for any of us to regard it as a labor, as a trouble, as a problem to walk with Him. He wants us to rejoice and to enjoy what He has ahead for us. That joy that we have somehow, I believe, strengthens us for the task that we have. You know, if we are labored from morning till night, feeling guilty, feeling, you know, all kinds of feeling, a pain here, a pain there, and we just got to consider that, then we are perhaps not the best testimony to the neighbor. But the fact that they see us smile, they don't even know that we have a little problem, because we know that our God is greater than that which we're going through. And I love it when I come into a church where there is joy, where people are smiling, where people are enjoying. And we know that when they go back, there may be something that they, you know, have to do again that is cropping up, such as a hospital visit again. But yet, we rejoice. We rejoice. And it's amazing the strength that comes with enjoyment of Christ, because that strengthens us all the way. This morning, I want to just talk to you a little bit about walking the tightrope between faith and works. We so often choose or would like to choose one or the other. But in actual fact, the two belong together. It's a fact that we are faith people. But we are not faith people without producing the works. And that's why we are not feeling worldly or less spiritual when we're talking about works. No, we actually enjoy works, especially when we walk by faith and we walk with God. For me, I believe that every time the devil tries to trick you with something that's tough, he goes back with his tail between his legs because he's lost again. Because we will not give in to what he's trying or where he's trying to get us. And in order to talk a little bit about this balance of faith and works, I couldn't choose better than James. James was just that special person in the Bible that always loved the balance. He was that kind of person. He was a person almost like you can say he was a latecomer, because he was one that actually it was the resurrection of Jesus that really brought him to realize. Before that, even if he was the half-brother of Jesus, he was sort of the one that, wait a little bit, no, I'm not sure, I can't, I won't, I wouldn't. But then, the resurrection, he could not deny. And after the resurrection, James became a strong man of God, a great man of God. And I thank God when I read his letters and go through that and see how God had used him when he made himself available to God. I realize that God could have pushed him even before the resurrection when he has a half-brother of Jesus. He could have pushed him and get his brother in there, quick, you know, right from the beginning. But God sometimes has patience with us. And he somehow wants to walk with us and get us to a place where he can reveal himself to us like he did to James. And when James suddenly opened his eyes and saw that this half-brother here, look what happened to him. He passed and came back again, and he lives. When I read those words of in James 2, verse 14, he said, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" And then verse 15 says, "If a brother or sister is naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which they needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus so yet, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Now, we are not people that want to simply live by our works, but we want to walk by faith that produces the works and gives us that opportunity. And when I hear coming here, every time that I come here, we find that you have a project somewhere, that you're thinking of somebody else, you're going beyond the walls and not just for inside the walls, then my heart rejoices. I am a person for out there. My life is outside there. My whole life has always been outside there, outside there, outside there. And why? Because I have seen God at work. To be outside there is to see God at work. When we come to church, and we come here, we only come here for the purpose to be renewed, restored, and strengthened for being outside there. It is the inside that strengthens us for the outside. And you doesn't have to go to another country because you feel, no, you haven't got it in you. No, the harvest is right next door, down the road, down the street, wherever. We find ourselves, we got to find ourselves that we have been strengthened here for a purpose, and that purpose is to be outside there. Those who are outside need us. And I thank God for people who live for others. I love that song, "Others, Lord, others, help me to live for others so that I may live for Thee." That's why we live. We live for others. We live for one another. Because in that living for one another gives us the opportunity of surrendering and also rendering those works that God has graced us with. We all have different talents. We all have different gifts that God provides for us and gives to us. He leaves none of us without it. My precious wife here doesn't like this platform. But if you have ever come to Christ the Rock Fellowship, as I have over the years, and watched her, not watched her with the eye that I wanted her, she was a married woman. But I've always noticed the people in Christ the Rock Fellowship who are the people right at hand. And she was one of those that my late wife and I spoke about and say, "My, that lady's an active one." You know, I never dreamt that I was also have a piece of that lady. But it's a fact that, you know, when you are there ready, serving, you don't need to be a preacher. Your neighbor don't need a preacher. In actual fact, it doesn't need a preacher who all the time nag, you know, when are you giving your life to the Lord? You know, come on. Hey, are you a Christian yet? Yeah. No, the neighbor actually needs love, compassion, care, concern. How can I serve you? How can I be there? I love it when an unbeliever comes and say, What makes you who you are? Or what is it that makes you different? What is it that makes you giving? What is it that makes you be in church? I love it when a question like that comes. I mean, you just open the door for the message. That's why living the gospel is a prerequisite before preaching the gospel. Otherwise, we can preach it to the neighbor, but if she hasn't seen you living it, then it means nothing. God is gracious, and James teaches us that's important also to have with our faith the works. In Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship." I love it. We are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Created for good works. The purpose of our being created, us being here, is that we can serve and not seek to be served. This is one of the very few places in the world that I'm called doctor. Sometimes if I hear it and I think, oh boy, am I healthy or am I sick? You know, because that's what I think of the doctor. But I appreciate and thank you. But for me, my life has been to be there where I can be the handyman. I've been in the highest echelons of churches and national bodies, international bodies. But for me, the most beautiful place is to be there where I can be of need to somebody. I'll never forget the day I was appointed the president of the AFM church in South Africa, which is the Mother Pentecostal Church. And after me saying, okay, yes, if you feel that's the Lord, I then, not an hour or two later, I walked out and helped the guys carrying the chairs. And they came to me and they said, "You must stop doing that now. You can't do that anymore." I said, "Why not?" They said, "No, you're now the president, you know." I said, "Okay, where do I resign? Show me the table so I can, you know, resign, because that's not what I thought it would be. Because we are here to serve. And serving is service, and service is definitely for us because we had faith, and now servanthood is the way that we walk in it. Two of my very good friends, Barry Isaacs, whom Lorena has just met in Cape Town now, and Angus Buchan, who has almost become globally known, had recently had a prayer meeting in a place called Mitchell's Plain. And there's an area of Mitchell's Plain where the gangs sort of hang out. Where the gangs had that. You bless America, you don't have gangs. But, okay. But where the gangs hang out in Cape Town. And they decided to have a prayer meeting there. And, of course, to their surprise, because it's not the safest place, 140,000 people attended the prayer meeting. 140,000 people attended the prayer meeting. Now, that's not the biggest that have turned up for Angus's and also for his prayer meetings. The last one was just under 2 million came to one prayer meeting. Of course, you can't have it indoors. It was a massive open place in a farm that you could walk almost for a while before you come to the end. And she met some of the people that had went there. I couldn't be there, but I sent a message, and that was put up there. But to find 2 million people, not 1,000, 2 million people at a prayer meeting, then you know God is at work. with all of our problems that I have. And here they went to a smallish place. It's just in one of the townships there. And they gathered for a prayer meeting, and 140,000 gathered for that prayer meeting. What a blessing. But why I'm saying this is that while they were doing that and the altar call came up, a group of the gangsters came forward. And they stood there and they prayed for them. And at the end of it, Angus did something that he has never done in his life. He almost stripped himself. He had to watch out that he doesn't give away his underpants. Because he started from his cap and he gave it to the one guy. He says, remind, you know, now you'll remember this time. And then he took off his jacket and he gave it to another, and then his shoes to another. He almost stripped himself as far as he could go on the platform there, and with the gangsters, he stood after praying for them. He gave them a piece of himself and said, if you see this and if you have it there, remember what happened this day. Because these are the leaders of the gangs. That they had the leaders of the gangs. And I don't know the number of them that were coming forward, but there were quite a few. Probably a dozen or two of them that were there in front. And to for him to do that reminded me of just something, you know, that yes, faith was in action there. Absolutely, faith was in action. But also, works came into action. And if our walk in faith can always be followed by action, where we show love, where we prove to people that we love them, and see how we can show forth. It's no wonder that it was said, just see how they love one another. And that's how we must be known as best we can. We need to do that. I remember the story of a young man that went to war, and his father was the owner of a what's this kind of place where they sell the pictures, the picture frames and all, a kind of a gallery. A gallery, he was the owner of that gallery, and his son went to war. And a year or two later, the word came that his son has fallen in during that war. Of course, he was sad, locked up the door of the gallery, and hoping to open it again maybe after a week or two. But what happened was that he never opened the gallery again. He couldn't find it in himself to open the gallery again. And after a year or two later, what happened was somebody came and knocked on his door. When he found the man, he said, the man that came in there said, I was one of those soldiers with your son. I bring you a message, number one, to say he served his country well. And he was an example for everybody. But also, while he was there, he also painted a piece of art, whatever you call it, and this is the piece that I'm bringing to you. When the father saw that, he immediately opened the gallery again. And he had that picture there that he said, okay, that's not for sale, but it sort of adorns the gallery. The father passed away few years later, and an auction was held in that place. And when the auction went up, the first item that was held up was a picture of the son. And when they held up the picture of the sun, people began to bid. And one person came with the high bid and he just got it and was delighted that he did. And everybody else wanted now the auction to continue. But immediately the auctioneer says, the auction is finished. The people moaned. He says, you only sold one item. He says, yes. The deed says, and the agreement says, the one who gets the son gets it all. So yes, the one who got the son, he got it all and left with the whole art gallery. And when I read that, I just thought of it, wow, I got the son. My, do I need anything else? Not for myself, but what I have, I've now taken that step of faith. I have the son. Thank God I have the son. But now there are others who don't have the son. I live now for them. I live now so that I can serve them, so that I can bring them to Christ. The purpose of our living is not always for ourselves, but it is for others. Others, Lord, others, help me to live for others so that I may live for you. And I pray that God would grant us the grace and the favor that we may, all of us, in this time now that we are living, and it's a different time for so many of us. So many of us. It's a different time. I don't, as somebody who, at my age, and some of us here, we almost don't recognize that time that we're living in. It's so changed, it's so different, the demand is different, it's totally different. Now, if God thought that you were not fit enough for this particular time in history, he'll have you out of here. But there's a reason why he kept you and I here. Millions have gone. Millions have died and gone off. You and I, he's kept here. And not because there's a shortage on earth in numbers, but because he needs us. That faith that we have in Christ, that we feel here, that feeling of faith that we feel in the room, that he will continue to take us step by step, tomorrow a step further than we were yesterday, as we go and serve those who have need of us. Others, Lord, others. Walking through the tightrope between faith and works. So often we feel that when you think of works, then you are somebody that living without faith. No, in actual fact, when I think about my works, then I think about faith that produced that and brought that about. And I pray God's grace that I will continue for the rest of my life in serving and giving and doing and helping as best we can. Not at the expense of faith, but because of faith. Because of faith, we are doing that. James, more than any of the other, has been one of those that have made sure that he keeps the balance. He was in action because faith has strengthened him for the purpose of action and for the purpose of serving. We can't all go out to the mission field. Thank God. Sometimes we can. For the most times we can't. But thank God that we have the privilege of sending somebody so that they go. And if we can't go and we don't see somebody, then we can support them in prayer. And as you do, support them in finance and whatever you may do as poor, for those who are poor. It's a sure that we need to add in these days more works to our faith. I'm not saying lessening faith. I'm saying adding to our faith more and more because of where we find ourselves. I think it was mentioned here of the times that we live in, of what we have around us. When I come to this place, I mean, Lorena and I, we got here about an hour before the time. We always come about an hour before the time we get here. And then we stop and we go walk around there. We did it again this morning. We walked around there, there by the, it's not a lake, is it a lake? Yeah, down there. Yeah, where you took us to lunch a few times at the sound, yeah. It's not for the food that we remember it. It's just a lovely place. But yes, the food was good too. But we come here and we enjoy this place so much. We talked about, you know, could we live here in a place like this? We just talked and then we sort of got to the conclusion, no, we'll be spoiled. It will be much of spoiling to live here. I mean, it's no problem to live here. This is luxury living. But wherever we find ourselves, in the smallest little hole somewhere in the world, that's where God wants us. And we wish you well, but we want you, while you are here, never to stop thinking beyond where you are. You can stay here, let your faith grow strong here, see and send others and work at your neighbors and all, but never stop and never put down your walking shoes so that we can get where God wants us to be. I have 3 pages of notes, but I'm not even going to get to it all. I just want to emphasize this one part that for me is so special, and that is that the time that we are living in now, right now, globally, is a time that we got to utilize the faith that we have for the action that is needed, in whichever way you want to. All over the world, there is no more peace on earth. Although we pray for peace on earth and such, but there is hardly a place now that you can say, well, that place has peace. That place has safety. All over. And I've seen a few. I've worked in 140 of them. And I've seen some. And all over, things has changed. Drastically. And that change is a call to the church. It's a call to the church to continue in faith and get stronger in your faith in order so that you can reach out beyond where you are. It's a call. Jesus is coming. Sometime he is. I'm one of those that say, please, Lord, don't come yet. There's still so much I want to do. I still want to be around. Yes, I want to be in heaven. I look forward to it. But right now, I don't want him to come. There's still too much. In a few months' time, we will travel to Cape Town, where the family... you can hardly call them a family anymore. They're a tribe now. We'll be gathering. There will be about 140 of them gathering. And that's the wider family that's around. And we'll all gather. The whole family in the one part of the country is planning to go down to Cape Town. And they will all gather there. And they've asked me to address the family with a special message on my 80th birthday. And Lorena and I will travel down there where all the tribe will gather. If I say all, there may be one or two that's not around, but all of them are preparing that they can be there and will be there and flying down. And there will be at least 140 of them that will be sitting there. And they've asked me because almost all of them we have won for the Lord. But some of them, here and there, have sort of dropped off, got lukewarm, more interested in other things, and they've asked me to talk to the family to bring them all back for where they started. My late sister and I came to the Lord first, and we began to labor in the family as they go on. We won many souls for Christ, but we did not want to be at the expense of the family. So we made special effort that we get the family in, the family in. And today, we find that some of them are a little bit lukewarm, and we're going to warm them up. So if you think of November the 6th, it's not Guy Fawkes, it's actually my birthday. So, and then we will be there talking to this tribe and getting them to give their best for Christ at this season. I can think of no more important time in history where we have to get our families who know Christ to reach out as far as they can in their families. Any kind of work that they must, that they can add to their faith, add it. Add it. So that it can be said, see how they love one another. Yeah. See how they love one another. And that we may bring them to Christ. I am going to close because I would very much like to be invited back. So I don't want you to miss your lunch, but let me say to you, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, and I don't say it everywhere. I love you and think often of you. And if the door one day closes here, I'll be the saddest. I don't mean close for you, I mean close for me. I'll be a very sad person. Why? Because I believe there's something special here. And this is not simply that I'm saying it because I want you to feel good. This place is special. There is something special here. There is a tremendous purpose. In actual fact, it's just come up in my heart right now that God is far from what he actually has in mind for you. Amen. There is so much that he still has in mind for you. Amen. Don't think because it's a smallish group that you'll be like this. Your outreach will be beyond. Amen. Your friendships will be known beyond. Your love will grow beyond. And even where you ain't, their love will have the growing of it, the drawing of it, the pulling power, whatever. And my wish to you is, and my advice to you is, keeping on. Just keep keeping on. And don't stop what you're doing. Only do a bit more if you can, wherever you can. Bring in the sheaves. It's time. It's late. Bring it in. Until then, serve as best you can without giving up your faith. So that you will be, with faith, strengthened to do the works of those who need you. God bless you, and I truly love you. Thank you.
Fantastic message, Pastor Chris. Fantastic. For those of you who may not know our brother just a little bit more, how many know the name Reinhard Bonnke? Okay. Pastor Chris was Reinhard's right-hand man for several years on his team as they traveled around the world. The Lord has used this man absolutely in historic, fantastic ways to bring healing, racial reconciliation to South Africa, to many nations in Africa. He's a mentor to pastors around the world. And, you know, he's not a name dropper, but we could be here all afternoon if he was. And I cannot express with enough gratitude that you feel at home here, and those doors will never close. You have a home here. And we're always honored when you come. And Lorena, some of you, how many remember, of course you should, Pastors John and Judy Engstrom? Well, Pastor Judy turned to us when we discovered they were getting together, and she goes, oh, I'm losing my right-hand person, because she labored to bring the vision to pass. These works, these things that happen congregationally and throughout the world, are not done by themselves, but people full of faith and full of work before the Lord are able to accomplish what God wants. And you both have been used so wonderfully by Jesus. You're a beautiful example of what you just preached, and we honor and thank you. Amen. Would you gather together? We're going to sing a song as we close, but first, would you come up and lay hands on this couple? Just sit right where you are, because God ain't done with you yet. And Father, we thank you so much. If you can't move, go ahead and stretch your hands toward them. Father, we thank you so much for Pastor Chris and Lorena. Thank you for the gifts of God that abide within. Thank you, Lord, for all the open doors for 65 years of ministry, for the healings you've brought, the mentoring you've brought, the vision that still burns deeply and brightly. Lord, we are privileged and honored that you have put in their hearts that we're a home for them, and we value and treasure them. We do what your word says. We say, blessed are they who come in the name of the Lord. And Lord, we have received another opportunity to hear from the precious Spirit and from the Spirit of the Lord through your vessels. Now we strengthen them, even with all the traveling, even yet to come. And Father, supernaturally open that door for Lorena to go home and not have to wait a year. Let it come together quickly, supernaturally quickly, that they might travel together and enjoy being together. These young kids, newlyweds. We bless them in the name of the Lord. And thank you so much for them, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Glory.
Amen. Amen.